Welcome to Office Hours, a social science podcast produced at the University of Minnesota, featuring conversations with prominent scholars, researchers, and other movers and shakers of the social world. Today we have a short, technical problems-filled talk with Gary Fine, John Evans Professor of Sociology at Northwestern University. In between connection problems, we discuss his recent feature article in Context on Uncertain Knowledge, and discuss how rumors shape our world, racialized understandings of knowledge claims, and explain why some people still think we have a Kenyan president. Today on Office Hours, we're talking with Professor Gary Fine, the Director of Graduate Studies and John Evans Professor of Sociology at Northwestern University, who, along with Nicholas DiFranzo, has written a piece, a feature article for Context called Uncertain Knowledge, about rumors and sort of hazy truths. So to begin with, I'm just curious, you know, why study rumor? Like, what does an understanding of how rumors work have to offer us?
Rumors serve, in a sense, as the canary in the coal mine of belief. The rumors tell us what we as a population, what we as a community believe in, but often things that we cannot say directly. In other words, if we can say that something actually happened, we can get away with sharing our beliefs, which we may not be able to do if we were simply talking about those things that we believe what our attitudes and values and norms would be.
Okay. Well, I guess I wonder too, you know, how do scholars define rumor? I mean, I guess it's one of those words you've always known, but what do you sort of like, how do you operationalize it for, you know, scientific study?
Absolutely. Let's distinguish first between rumor and gossip. Those two terms are often, in terms of public discussion, seen as overlapping or sometimes even as synonymous. For scholars, they are different terms. They overlap, but they're distinct. Rumors have to do with truth claims. That is, claims about the world, claims about things that, quote, actually happened, that are not backed by secure sources of knowledge. Now, what do we mean by secure sources of knowledge? Well, those institutions to which we give the authority to know. So that a claim about what the president did on a particular day when coming from the press secretary would not be a rumor. It might be false, you know, it might be a lie, but we wouldn't call it a rumor because the press secretary has the authority to know.
Sure.
In contrast, the same claim that came from someone on the outside, someone who was perhaps part of a social movement about a presidential act, might well be considered a rumor because that person doesn't have the authority to know. That is, the information is what we speak of as unsecured. Now, let us contrast that to gossip. Gossip may be certain. It could be certain knowledge. It could be something that I have witnessed, or it could be something like a rumor that, you know, is simply out there. But gossip is simply information that is spread by an absent third party about an absent third party by two other people. Right? So gossip can be certain information. Rumor is always uncertain information.
Okay. I guess I'm interested, too, that in the article, at least, you identified two different types of rumors, cold rumors and hot rumors. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what exactly are those and how do they operate differently or why do you make a distinction?
Well, what we wanted to do in distinguishing between cold rumors and hot rumors are rumors that our hot rumors are grounded in emotion, that they are of the moment. They are angry rumors or joyous rumors or frightened rumors, whereas other rumors, cooler rumors, colder rumors, are rumors that don't have that quality. that, you know, operate in contexts in which people are not so personally engaged.
Sure. Now, are there, say, you know, different types of people or groups or situations that are more susceptible to the different kinds? Are there ones that are more effective than the other, or are there sort of patterns like that with those?
Well, I think that when you get into events that have considerable impact, that truly matter, then you're likely to get hot rumors. You know,
sure.
People are more engaged in them. And so with hot rumors, it is likely that people will have lower standards of proof necessary because it's more important to them. They're more engaged. They're more frightened. They're more angry.
Sure. Well, and speaking of these big events, in the article a little bit, you spoke about how, you know, the rumor sort of relates to this idea of living in risk society, and especially with these kind of things about, like, economic bubbles or these things. And I was wondering if you could sort of talk about how these things like big economic bubbles or the stock trading that's talked about in the article, what those teach us about how rumors operate or how rumors affect people.
They remind us that people are looking for certainty within their communities, and that what people do is look to see what other people who matter to them believe. When there is consensus, there is likely to be action that supports the consensus. Thus, there is likely to be the possibility, at least, of a bubble. Now, not all consensus leads to a bubble, but if people believe, you know, let's go back a decade to the high-tech bubble.
Sure.
You know, people became convinced that all of these early websites were going to...
So if you don't mind, if we could just pick back up.
Sure.
You were talking about how rumors relate to the economic bubble and how these such things happen. And so maybe if you could just kind of start there again.
Okay. Let's see. Where was I? I was talking about bubbles.
Right.
So, you know, bubbles depend on communities. That when a community gets a consensual idea, when they have a shared view of the world, then people are likely to take that for granted and perhaps not look at, you know, all of the features, you know, that might impact on that decision. So in the case of the tech bubble, there was this consensus back 10 years ago, 2000, that all of these websites, even those without a real business model, were going to make billions of dollars. And so people said, well, we better get on the ground floor. We better invest right now, quickly. A few of those websites obviously have gone on to do very well. Many of them went belly up, and that led to the breaking, the bursting of the tech bubble.
So I'm curious here, you talked about how people depend on their community for signifiers on rumors or things like this. And also in the article, it talks about how what are called racialized pools of knowledge affect how rumors are created or received. So I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about what it is about the community or aspects of the community that cause people to, you know, either believe or not believe in a rumor, or how that functions, how much faith they put in a rumor.
Okay. Well, you know, we talked about racialized pools of knowledge as our way of suggesting and recognizing that in many ways, African Americans and non-African Americans, whites and other groups, live in different social worlds. Now, we were writing in, you know, we wrote the book in the late 1990s. This has changed to some degree. We have greater connection between black communities and white communities over the past 12 years or so. But still, I think that the basic point is accurate, that, you know, there are a set of beliefs that are endemic to the black community and others that characterize the white community. So in this, in our book, Whispers on the Color Line, Patricia Turner and I looked at rumors in the African-American community that suggested, in a way that very startling to whites, that white institutions were planning, considered the possibility of genocide. You know, that there were corporations out there that would try and poison black people.
Sure.
And when whites heard this, you know, these are stories about Church's Fried Chicken and Snapple and, you know, various other large corporations. The large corporations that the rumors claimed had a real hatred for African Americans. When whites heard these rumors, they were inclined to think, because they had not heard of them through their own grapevine, but when they were informed about them, they were inclined to say, well, African Americans are kind of paranoid. How
sure.
could they believe such crazy things? You know, it's this kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the white perspective, that just doesn't make sense that Church's Fried Chicken would want to sterilize black people.
Right.
In contrast, you know, turning the discussion around, many white Americans believe that black gangs, as a matter of initiation, were targeting whites, killing them, raping white women. It wasn't large institutions, but it was individual, you know, kind of the image of wilding.
Right.
And African Americans heard these white rumors and said, well, these people are racist. So you have, on the one hand, you know, a group of imagined paranoids, on the other, a group of imagined racists. You know, obviously, when you have that kind of division, it makes dialogue very difficult.
Sure. You know, I was kind of actually wondering along those lines, especially when we talk about racial disparity in it or things like this, you know, I was wondering why some rumors, as opposed to others, have such strength and staying power, especially ones that have been disproven. Like, here I'm thinking of, you know, Obama's birth certificate, you know, and rumors that he's not American. And despite, you know, release of the birth certificate and the long form certificate and all these things, it's still a persistent rumor. And so I'm wondering if you have some insight into why certain rumors are able to stay, you know, even after they've been disproven, whereas others may not.
Right. Well, we can talk about this in a general way and in a specific way about the Obama birth certificate rumor.
Sure.
In a general way, what we talk about is there being two dynamics, the politics of plausibility and the politics of credibility. The first, plausibility, has to do with whether particular audiences see the claims made, the claims about the world made in these rumors as being possible. In other words, as being plausible.
Sure.
And this connects to a whole set of beliefs and values and understandings, collective memory, shared history, and so forth. And that becomes very important. If you hear something that you say, this could never happen, this is just implausible, that, you know, Martians are visiting Earth and, you know, blowing up bridges.
Sure.
No, oh, this can't be right. You know, it's just you don't even pay attention to it, other than perhaps as an example of humor or something, you know, entertaining.
Right.
The other side to this is the politics of credibility. And this is, who is telling you this rumor? What is their interests, and what kind of resources do they have available?
Sure.
And those people who you say, well, these are likely to be honest brokers or they're sincere, then you're at least willing, assuming that the information is reasonably plausible, to say, yeah, this could happen. This is an honest person, and this is a possible story, so I'm going to at least tentatively accept it. If the person who's spreading the rumor is someone from a very different political perspective, someone you think has an interest, someone who's trying to persuade you of something that is in their interest to persuade you of, then you're likely to deny it.
Sure.
So we take the Obama birth certificate. And, you know, we take it, we start out by being agnostic as to whether it's true or not. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us were there. We
sure.
don't know where the birth took place. And there's always plenty of evidence on every side of the issue. So I gave a talk in Washington as a keynote speaker at a conference on uncertain knowledge. And so I was talking about this rumor, and I was talking about the issue of the promiscuity of facts. And this, I was making the argument that there are more than enough, quote, facts, facts in quotation marks, facts to go around.
Sure.
So, you know, you can go on the internet if you wish, and you can find a birth certificate for our president from Kenya.
Oh, sure.
I can give you that website, and there are several different birth certificates that are allegedly from Kenya.
Hmm.
So there they are. What sense do we make out of them? You know, are they forgeries? Plausible or ludicrous.
Right.
And if you are not an Obama supporter and you see our president for whatever reason, whether it's because of his birth, whether it's because his father was Muslim and his stepfather was Muslim, whether he lived in Indonesia, whether he was exotic by going to an Ivy League college, whether because he is either African-American or biracial, whichever you prefer, you know, all of these things that make him different, or mm-hmm. whether because his politics are different than what we had seen before in our president, at least according to some people.
Sure.
It then becomes at least open to discussion whether where he was born. When this gets complicated by the fact that, you know, most of us have long-form birth certificates that are, you know, where the hospital is listed, they're signed by the doctor, and all the rest.
Sure.
Obama's short-form birth certificate had none of that. That was totally illegal, a legal document. It was
mm-hmm.
totally a legitimate document of the state of Hawaii, but it opened a space for which people could question it. I think once the long-form birth certificate came out, the discussion of the birth certificate where Obama was born didn't die completely, but died away substantially.
Sure. Well, I'm actually kind of curious going in sort of the opposite direction, and we talk about, you know, especially in sort of common usage, you know, rumor is always kind of seen as a negative thing, or even the term rumor itself is kind of pejorative. But I'm curious if you'd make an argument that rumors can have some positive functions, or maybe can be a not a universal negative. And I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, of course, rumors can be positive because what they do is they attempt to provide certainty, security, shared knowledge, and they often spring up in circumstances of ambiguity. So as a result, they serve that very valuable purpose of giving people more security in their community and in their lives.
Sure, sure. Okay, and that kind of brings, I think, to the sort of the crux of this work, or what I saw as the most interesting thing, is there's a line in the piece you wrote for Context that is, rumor is knowledge filtered through social process. And I really like that, and later you go on to say that, you know, this is where the sociology of community shapes the psychology of belief. And so I'm kind of curious if you might be willing to draw some sort of broader implications from the study of rumor about how these ideas of what we believe or what we like to believe are actually filtered through our social experiences.
Well, as you know, I think what is central to my approach to rumor as a sociologist is the fact that we are not simply dealing with knowledge, but we are dealing with communal knowledge. We are dealing with beliefs that arise from our social location, from our habitus, from who we are, from what our socialization is, and from what our social network is. And so we learn information because of where we are in a social network, and we come to believe it or disbelieve it as a function of those people who surround us. And so in that sense, I would argue that rumor is filtered through social process.
All right, great. Well, I think it's a really fascinating read, and I direct people to the article itself. And thanks so much for sitting down to talk about this with us. I found it really interesting.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, office hours are closed for the day. Thanks for stopping by. Don't forget to check out the website, thesocietypages.org/officehours. Leave a comment, check out some of the other podcasts, and check for some of the new exciting features we're doing. We'll see you again next time.